going to invite you to take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Acts. And welcome to our evening service. And I do want to address those who are watching online. We're glad that you're here also. And I want to let you know those little glitches that may have been on our screen the previous services, we're working on it. So we are very aware of it. And we're doing our best to figure that out. Those of you who are here, you didn't necessarily see that, but in the last couple of services, our camera was giving some black screens and it would cut in and out. So it's kind of frustrating. So I think the audio was working fine, but the video was kind of a pain. But we're fixing that. We're working on that. And we're just thankful that you're able to be here in person and over the live stream if you are watching. Acts chapter 1. Exciting time in the early church, and I want us to begin reading in verse 1. We'll read down to verse 9. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. What an exciting time, right? What a neat thing. Let's go ahead and pray. And then I want us to look at this passage together. Lord, thank you for this historical narrative that we can read. We're thankful that you have inspired these words. You've breathed out these words so that we can know them today. What a thank you for revealing these things to us and showing us these things that happened. We know that they're not just fables. These are truth. This narrative is truth. And we're thankful for an insight so many years ago into what was happening. And I do pray, Lord, as we look at this tonight, that you would teach us and show us what we need to learn. Thank you for God's people. I pray that the Spirit of God would use the Word of God now in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Luke's commentary. Additional commentary on the early church. The disciples were told to wait at Jerusalem for a promise. In verse 4, we see they were to wait for the promise of the Father. And I want to look specifically at that promise, and I want to share with you at least six brief points from this. And I want to talk about what this promise was. They were told to wait for the promise. And let's look at some of that promise tonight. The first thing we see in the early stages of the church here is that they were to wait for this promise, but the promise was from God the Father. This wasn't just a vague promise like we make to each other. This was a truth. This was a promise that was given by God himself. We see in Luke chapter 24:49. Jesus was speaking, and he says, I send the promise of my Father unto you. So the disciples were looking for this promise. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So Jesus had already told them that this promise was going to be given them, and that the promise was given from God the Father. The second thing I want you to see about this promise is that the promise, as we see in verse 5, was the indwelling Spirit of God. The indwelling Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit. Look at what verse 5 says. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So this promise that they were looking for was coming from the Father, God the Father, and Jesus clarifies that the promise was the indwelling Spirit of God. Third point I want you to see is that the promise was that of another comforter. Now, who was their comforter while Jesus was here on earth? It was Him. He was the comforter. And Jesus says in John 14:16, and I pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Going on in verse 26 of John 14, but the comforter, he defines what it is, the comforter, which is the what? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the promise that these disciples received was that from the Father, and it was the Spirit of God Himself. And we see in Scripture that the Holy Spirit is the one that teaches us. He guides us. He reveals the mind of God to us through the Word. He intercedes for us. He helps us. Folks, never think of the Spirit of God as a mystical force. The Spirit of God is not a mystical force. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's God Himself. And He can do things like teach and guide. He can intercede. He can help you. And so when we think of the Spirit of God, never think of Him as just a force or an energy. The Spirit of God is God Himself, sent from the Father, and He dwells in us as believers. And that's what the believers at this time were looking for. They didn't necessarily know all these. We're able to see this from our perspective looking back. They didn't necessarily know all of this about this promise. And we see in our passage in Acts that the Holy Spirit is the one who baptizes or places every believer into the body of Christ. So the Spirit of God is a comforter. Let me ask you this. If you were to comfort somebody, are you a force that comforts the person? How could you comfort somebody? Well, because you're a person, right? And folks, we can never think of the Spirit of God as just a mystical force. And it's important for us to remember that, because we can have a relationship with the Spirit of God. We can have a relationship with our God. He's not a force. And I hope you understand that. I know Sunday evening crew, you know that. And I hope that just encourages your heart that the Spirit of God is not a force, it's a person. The person of God. One of the persons of God. And praise God that He is the one who places every believer into the body of Christ. So the believers were looking for this comforter that would come, sent from the Father, and it would dwell within them. The fourth thing about this promise is that the promise was that the comforter would never leave. Jesus was leaving, and Jesus reminds them in John 14:16, and I pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Now, Jesus was leaving them physically. He wasn't leaving and being gone forever. You understand that? But He was leaving them physically, and He promised to send another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. And folks, that promise is true for us. Amen. Spirit of God is with us and will never leave us. And we can have great comfort in that. The fifth thing I want us to see about this promise is that the promise was given to us, and it was that the Holy Spirit would give us God's divine power. Look at verse 8. But ye shall receive what? What are you going to receive? Power. Only after what happens? The Holy Ghost is come upon you. Okay. So the promise was that they would receive the Holy Spirit's divine power. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit's power. And eventually they received it. When did they receive the Holy Spirit's indwelling? At Pentecost. Right, right. This power was something that they received, not something that they attained by their own merit. Okay, so there wasn't this group of really good Christians, and they received the Spirit of God. It wasn't because they were somehow these meritorious Christians. They were given. This was something God promised, and they received the Spirit of God, and this power came through the indwelling Spirit of God. And folks, if you're a believer, you already have the Spirit of God. I want to push back a little bit this idea that somehow only good Christians receive the Spirit of God. That's not true. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, you don't have to wait for the Spirit of God to dwell within you. You don't need to wait for the power of God to be upon your life. 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul tells the Corinthians, "Know ye not?" These are believers. Okay? "Know ye not that ye are the temple or the household of God, and the Spirit of God dwells outside of you." Is that what it says?
Yeah.
No. It says the Spirit of God dwells in you. Okay? So don't you know that? And it's a rhetorical question. Don't you know the Spirit of God is within you? You don't have to wait. At the time, the early church, they had to wait until Pentecost to receive that. But now, when you get saved, the Spirit of God dwells within you. Paul also repeats this in chapter 6, verse 19. He says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" And so as believers, you already have the Spirit of God. When you got saved, you received all the Holy Spirit and all the power from the Holy Spirit that you will ever need. And this isn't something that you need to wait for. It's not like you get saved and say, "Okay, I'm going to have my Pentecostal moment here. That's coming, okay, and we just have to wait around." That's not what it is. The Spirit of God dwells within you, and the power is His. And the power, His power, God's divine power, is within you. And folks, when you obey and you submit to the Word of God, you have great power to live an effective life for Christ. So, I want you to think about this, okay? This promise of the Holy Spirit was God's divine power indwelling you, right? Okay, that's what they were waiting for. This is part of the promise. "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." I want you to think about this. Why have you been given this power? Why have you been given this power? If the fact is that the Spirit of God dwells within you and you've been given this power, what's the point of it? And I want us to just kind of think through this. Why do I have the Holy Spirit's divine power within me? And I'll start with just saying what it's not. Okay, you don't have God's power so that you can have a really good self-esteem. Okay? God didn't give you His Holy Spirit to dwell in you, to empower you to just have a really good self-esteem. He didn't give you the power so that you can just sound really religious when you talk. He didn't give you that power for that. He also didn't give you the Spirit of God with great power so that you could build your own kingdom. He also didn't give you His power so that you can be proud. You don't have that power for yourself. I want you to notice in verse 8, why have you been given God's power? Look at it. "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." What's the purpose? To be witnesses. Good, good, good. Number six in our outline here. Number six. The promise of God's power enables us to be witnesses for Christ. That's why we have God's power. We're here. We have a mission to do. There's a purpose. God has given us the Spirit of God. And here we see in the early, right in the very beginnings, where Christ was ascending into heaven and speaking to his disciples here, that the reason for the promise of the Father was so that they could have the Spirit of God within them and that there would be great power in being witnesses for Christ. Folks, this is our commission. This was their commission, and therefore it is our commission. And this is really our purpose for life. Go and be witnesses for Jesus Christ. And he's given us the power to be the witnesses for Jesus Christ. You have God's power to go out and make disciples. And so therefore, we've been given great resources, and we need to use that for Christ. This is our mission. And notice again in verse 8, what he says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witness unto me where? Both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. And so the mission, the power has been given to us to be witnesses, but the mission is first local and then it expands to worldwide, to the uttermost part of the earth. And I believe that this list, that I know that this list is progressive on purpose. Jesus purposely makes it the spread of the gospel progressing outward. And I believe the idea that Jesus is giving here is we need to be witnesses right where God has placed us. We need to start right where God has placed us and then expand from there. I love the illustration when thinking about this verse. Many of you have probably done this, but if you come upon a really calm lake, and we've done this on our hike sometimes, even recently we found a lake up in Massachusetts. It was a really neat area, and it was very still, and we were with some friends. And when you're with boys, when there's a still lake, what do boys do? Throw rocks, right? Okay. And what's interesting is that little rock has an initial effect when it hits. And then it ripples outward. Folks, that's the illustration that we see here. Right where God has placed you, right where that rock hits first. And then the gospel witness needs to expand outward from there. And that's what Jesus is describing, that the gospel witness, the power that God has given us, we need to start here and we need to purposefully go beyond just here. We need to witness here, yes, but a little further out and a little further out until we reach the uttermost part of the earth. Folks, do you know that the gospel was never meant to remain in one place? Jesus never says, hey, I want you to build a monastery and I want you to get only really these really spiritual people and stay right here. Jesus doesn't say that. He says, go, start here and spread the gospel far and beyond right here. A healthy church continues to advance the gospel. Folks, do you know that? A healthy church is focused, yes, right here, but focused right here and right here and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And so we could think of it locally, regionally, and to the uttermost part of the earth. A convicting question, though, is why would God use us to reach the uttermost part? If that's the goal, we want to reach the uttermost part of the earth. Why would God use us to reach the uttermost part of the earth when we're not reaching those right here? Why would God have us reach the uttermost part of the earth if we're not being obedient right here where God has placed us? Okay? In our homes, in our communities. And I want to just share a really simple application to these truths that we looked at tonight. If we have God's power to be His witnesses, we need to start right where He's placed us. Do you see that here? It's very simple. Start right here in your own city where God has placed you. We need to start right where He's placed us. I don't know about you, but every time we have a missionary come in, do you ever get really excited about where they're going?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to Alaska. Okay. I'm going to, wherever. And I think that's good for us as believers to be excited about what God is doing out there. And we can get so hyper-focused on that, but we lose sight of our own mission. God's doing an exciting, great work right here in Oakdale. Right in your own homes. Those of you who have children, you have quite the mission field. And some of you have more children than others. And that is a mission field in and of itself. We can't lose sight of our own mission field right here. Think of Oakdale. Think of where you live, Salem, Colchester, the Westerly area for us. Think of your children. Folks, those are all mission fields. That's your Jerusalem. That's where God has placed you. Think of where God has placed you for work. Think of your community, those neighbors that you may see from time to time, and you may only get a brief moment with them, but you have opportunity to shine the light of Christ in their life. Think about the person who serves you coffee. Okay, some of you go consistently to the same coffee place every day. You see the same person, and you have the opportunity to reach them for Christ. Or maybe you go out to dinner and you get to know the waiter or the waitress. That's where God has placed you. And those are people that God has brought to you so that you can share the gospel. Folks, please hear me. I'm not saying don't pursue the mission field outside your community. What I believe we see here is we can't lose sight of where God has placed us, where God has placed you. We can't lose sight of that. Go out and witness. You have His power. He's given you His power to be a witness for Him. And not everybody's going to agree with the message of the gospel, but you're on the winning side and you have His power. They need Christ. They may not want Christ, but God has commissioned you to share the good news with them because they need Christ. They may not agree with it, but you're His messenger of good news. And so maybe you feel like you don't have much purpose in life. Maybe you're discouraged. Can I encourage you? This, one of the best ways of not being discouraged anymore is to get on mission. Get involved in sharing the gospel. Tell others about Christ. That'll take you right out of depression. When you start speaking of Christ, they may not agree with you, but sharing the gospel is a great way to really fulfill your purpose in life. Tell others about Jesus Christ. Maybe you're afraid to share the gospel, and maybe you're Pastor Jay, I just want to be friendly with everybody. Can I encourage you to remember that you have God's power with you and in you? And as you take that step of faith to share the word of God, He's going to help you do it. You have divine power. Maybe you're the kind of person who you talk spiritually. Have you ever got with other believers? You can really sound spiritual. Okay? But you know in your heart that you haven't ministered the gospel to a lost person in a long time. Oh, folks, that happens. Oh, we're very quick to give testimonies on to other believers, but to actually minister the gospel to a lost person, some of us haven't done that in a long time. And maybe it's time for us to get serious about what Jesus is saying, and go out and be a witness for Jesus Christ. And maybe you need to make some unsaved friends for the purpose of evangelizing them. I think we can get in this monastery kind of thinking as believers, and we seclude ourselves and we never speak to those who are the lost. Folks, we need to go out and we need to share the gospel. We need to get to know lost people and we need to minister the gospel to them. I'm not saying that we need to be best buds with the lost, but we need to make friends with the lost so that we can share the gospel. And so inviting them to dinner, having them over your house, do family worship with them. Share the gospel. And maybe it's time to get to know some lost people in your Jerusalem. Maybe it's time to have a neighborhood party and say, hey, we're going to have a 4th of July celebration here. And we're just going to have hot dogs and hamburgers. And we want you to come over to our house. And maybe God will give you an opportunity to speak to them about Christ. Okay? I think that would be a great thing. Can you imagine if our whole church did that? Everybody's houses? We just had different barbecues on July 4th and invited people, lost people, our whole street, and had them come over and just look for opportunities to share the gospel. I think that's great. I think we need to do that. I'm not saying we're going to put a sign-up sheet and make you do that, but I think we got to think of those kind of things. We really need to get to know lost people. And we got to get out of this, you know, in the box kind of thinking of, you know, we're just going to invite people to Vacation Bible School and the Battle and stuff. We ourselves need to go out and be witnesses for Christ. So we need to get to know lost people and share with them the gospel. And folks, as we kind of wrap this up, maybe this week you need to spend some time with God. And maybe you need to confess your apathy. I know I have to. God, would you forgive me for being so apathetic? I get so busy in life and I forget. And maybe you're even apathetic to being a witness for Christ. Maybe you have to spend some time within this week and say, God, can you guide me? Can you open my eyes to the lost around here so that I can share the gospel with them? So Jesus' last command was that his followers would testify of his gospel. And folks, that's what we're commissioned to do. That's the great command for us as believers, to go and be witnesses for Jesus Christ. And so, believer, this week, can I encourage you to follow Jesus by going and making disciples of Jesus Christ in your local community, wherever God has placed you? Go and make disciples. That's what God has called us to do, and you have his power to do that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this encouragement from the Word of God, and I'm thankful for how you've challenged me so much from this passage. We know that you haven't given us your power just to do our own thing. You've given us your power to be witnesses for you. And so I do pray, Lord, that you would challenge us with these truths, that we would be gospel focused, that we would be concerned about the gospel advance. And I do pray that we would get busy right where you've placed us. And I do pray, Lord, that you would show us those areas maybe where we become apathetic to sharing the gospel. I do pray, Lord, that you would open up these divine opportunities for us to share the gospel, whether it's a picnic or having folks over for dinner, or other areas. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be bold in sharing the gospel with others, and help us to get on mission with that. Help us to be purposeful in sharing the gospel. Thank you for your precious Spirit that dwells in each of us as believers. And I'm thankful that we have the power to go forth boldly and preach your gospel. I do pray that you would give us that boldness this week and shake us from our apathy. And may we see a great reviving. May we see a great awakening in our midst. Lord, thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name, amen.